whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. Francisco Rojas right here on Phillies 24/7 Sports Radio 94 WIP podcast and channel. Have a loaded show for you today. We have good amount of content. Good amount of content that will be sprinkled throughout today's episode of Phillies Today. Super excited to have all of you in. There is a whole bunch to talk about. Yes, the Phillies 2024 yearbook premiered last night. No, I was not able to watch it, but the yearbook it premiered last night. I would love to know, did you watch it? Did you actually take the time out to watch it? I saw some people on Twitter doing like watch-alongs on X. Shout out to Luke Arcaney. I think he did one. Tim Kelly might have done one as well. So that dropped last night. In the first MLB.com's first inaugural or their inaugural power rankings for 2025, that just came out. Where did the Phillies rank on that list? We're going to get to that. You might be surprised, you might not be, but we'll get into that. Did a certain Phillies center fielder fall in the top 10 center fielders for MLB Network? They just put out their list. We'll get into that as well. Then a little bit of around MLB. And if you want to stay tuned, you know, I do this from time to time. And if you listen to our station, you know that I really, you know, I love music. And I'll tell you what music I've been listening to, you know, recently. Maybe give you some recommendations. Maybe you can give me some. So we'll talk about that, you know, to end the show. But stick into baseball, of course, to start. Phillies news and notes, like I had mentioned, Phillies 2024 yearbook premiered last night. It premiered at 7:30. Look, I enjoy watching the yearbooks. I'm weird. I generally enjoy watching the yearbooks that come out, or that the yearbooks from like the 2000s teams. I have no idea why. I'll randomly watch like the 2005 Phillies yearbook. I don't know if I just like to relive, you know, the point 2005. I'm like 10 years old watching baseball. It's like, obviously it's the pinnacle of your sports fandom, baseball fandom, all that stuff. Maybe that's just a me thing for that, but I enjoy, you know, the 2011 yearbook, that especially those teams that were great, were awesome. I don't know, but are you still bitter about this team enough to where you're like, I don't want to relive that, like, all that, who cares? They lost to the Mets in the playoffs. Like, I would totally get that. And that's kind of still how I feel a little bit. I'll probably watch it just for the heck of it, but not like rushing to watch it. But the Phillies 2024 yearbook came out last night on YouTube. That's where you can go watch it. I'll go watch it eventually. A couple other things. Tom McCarthy, he will be on the call for the Eagles-Packers game on Westwood One, the radio broadcast for the wild card weekend game between the Birds and the Packers. So, T-Mac, Phil's TV broadcaster, great T-Mac, he will be on the call for Eagles-Packers. Thought that was a fun note there. T-Mac will be on that call. And lastly, Jim Bowden, former MLB GM and writer for The Athletic, still saying that Alex Bregman, even after all this, after, you know, after it's been a couple of months in the hot stove, still saying that Alex Bregman is an ideal fit for the Phillies. Still thinks he's an ideal fit for the lineup, for the ballpark, all that. Still says he thinks he's an ideal fit. Says they would obviously need to trade for Alec Boehm first. But then in the end, because this was, I think he did a, like, the top remaining free agents and where he predicts they'll land. But he still predicts the Boston Red Sox to land Alex Bregman. So, Bregman, he thinks is an ideal fit for the Phillies still, but thinks he is going to Boston. So, yes. So, Jim Bowden predicting the Red Sox to land Alex Bregman, even though he still thinks that the Phillies are an ideal fit. Okay, where do the Philadelphia Phillies fall in MLB.com's inaugural power rankings for 2025? They come in at number two. Number two. So the top five is as follows. It's Dodgers, Phillies, Yankees, Mets, and the Atlanta Braves. So we have three of the top five, or out of the top five teams in the first power rankings from MLB.com for this year. The Phillies, Mets, and Braves. We have three NL East teams in the top five. For me, that's exciting. I mean, you feel good that the Phillies are for number two. I mean, I don't know. I guess a lot of us. How do we feel about that? I mean, that's the obvious question here to all of you is, how do you feel about the Phillies ranking number two in the top five? Clearly, the Dodgers number one. You know, just coming off the World Series, you're going to get Ohtani back on the mound. You just signed Blake Snell to a deal. You know, made the additions that they did with Hyesung Kim, Michael Conforto. You know, loaded lineup. I mean, literally their rotation is loaded, and they look like they're just ready to go get another World Series. I still don't like the Braves. I think are definitely should be in the top five. I mean, honestly, I looked at the top five, and the rest of the top ten, by the way, is just to put it out there, is Padres number six. Orioles number seven, Diamondbacks number eight, Astros number nine, and Brewers at number 10. Maybe it's just not like, and we'll see obviously when the year starts, but not like, it's definitely going to be it's an interesting like top half of teams in Major League Baseball because Orioles, you know, at number seven didn't really do anything this offseason, but they still have so much young talent. D-backs are going to be an interesting one. D-backs will definitely be interesting. Added Corbin Burns, you know, signed Jock Peterson, you know, made some good moves this offseason that I'm really interested to see what they're going to do. They did lose Christian Walker, but then they did trade for Josh Naylor as well. I don't know, some interest. It's an interesting, like, top half, or at least for the teams that are supposed to be like the juggernauts of MLB. Like, I don't know, like Yankees, they lost Soto, but the Yankees also had a decent offseason, a good offseason after they lost Soto, adding Fried, you know, Cody Bellinger, Devin Williams. Goldschmidt was an interesting one, but yeah, interesting. And the Mets, I know they added Soto, but I don't know. I will believe they're top five if they can get Alonso. But then their rotation, though, still. I don't know. The Mets are will be an interesting one as well. So those are your inaugural power rankings from MLB.com. Where do you stand on that? What do you think? What do you think of the top five? Where do you think where the Phils come in at number two? Is that a bunch of baloney? Is it not? Like, what are your thoughts there on the Phillies coming in at number five in MLB.com's first power rankings of 2025. How about Brandon Marsh? He ranks numbers. We're doing rankings right now, so we're going to stick to it. Brandon Marsh coming in at number six on MLB Network's top 10 center fielders. He comes in at number six. So the top 10 is as follows. It's Julio Rodriguez, Jackson Merrill, Byron Buxton, Michael Harris, Mike Trout, then Brandon Marsh, Dalton Varsho, Garrett Mitchell, O'Neill Cruz, and Luis Robert Jr. Look, I think Marsh might be ranked a little too high, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's a loaded class of center fielders. It's not like it's a loaded class. I don't know. Jaron Duran played 100 games center field last year. I don't know what that considers him. Like, even I think Marsh played more games in left field last year than center field, so I don't even. Maybe they just pick and choose what they want for their list, which is perfectly fine. Like, that's how they want to do it. That's how they want to do it. But just saying. So Marsh coming in at number six. Also, for what it's worth, And this only really works if he comes back. But, you know, Jeff Hoffman ranked number 9 on MLB Network's top 10 relievers. If he comes back, it's worth talking about. If he's not, I don't know. I mean, we want Hoffman back. I think the majority of Phillies fans want Jeff Hoffman back. I haven't really seen anybody out there saying, oh, I don't want Jeff Hoffman. Like, it's been mostly, I want Jeff Hoffman. There was that report, though, recently that Carlos Estevez, Phillies are looking, or Phillies are one of the options that are looking to bring Estevez back potentially. And I think it's like they're one of like 5 or 6 teams somewhere in there. So maybe they bring back Carlos Estevez. He was not on the top 10 relievers list. I'm pretty sure I had it in front of me somewhere, but I think I would have remembered. So, you know, I actually have it in front of me right now. It's Devin Williams is number 1, Kate Smith, Ryan Helsley, Class A, which is why is Class A number 4. He just had a historical season. He's been one of the best relievers in baseball. It's not even close. Mason Miller, Edwin Ucetta from Tampa Bay, Tanner Scott, Kirby Yates, then Jeff Hoffman, then Raisel Iglesias. So there you go. Okay, but so those are Hoffman, Marsh, where they ranked in their respective positions. Around Major League Baseball. So we had a few things happen. And a bunch of transactions. The Giants, San Francisco Giants, they signed Justin Verlander to a 1-year, $15 million contract. I don't know, man. Like, the Giants seems like, I don't know. You strike out on some of the big-name guys, and now you're, I mean, not that Verlander's not a big name, but, like, let's be honest. Verlander's 42, coming off, you know, injuries and had a bad year last year. I don't know. I guess Verlander's okay. He's slated as the 5th starter for the Giants. I guess that's okay. So Verlander signing a 1-year deal with the Giants. Reds trade for Gavin Lux. Reds trade for Dodgers, former Dodgers top prospect Gavin Lux, and wasn't going to work. They just signed Hyesung Kim. This wasn't going to happen. Dodgers, in return, get competitive balance round A pick and an outfield prospect who is Mike Sirota. Michael Lorenzen, former Philly, he signed with the Kansas City Royals on a 1-year, $7 million contract. And then Ahmed Rosario, he signed with the Washington Nationals with a 1-year, $2 million contract. So Ahmed Rosario signing with the Nats. So those are some of your transactions around Major League Baseball. So that's what I got for you for around MLB. This day in Phillies history. This day on January 9th. So it happened on this day in 1975. The Phillies chose Richard Neslany. I misread his name at first. Richard Neslany. That's not that hard. I need to relax. In the first round of the January amateur draft in 79, the Phillies chose Dean Baugh in the first round of the January amateur draft and Mark Davis in the first round of the secondary phase. Fast forward 6 years later, 1985, the Phillies picked Scott Steen in the first round of the January amateur draft. Transactions on this day. 1927. Sounds like a Babe Ruth year. In a 3-team trade, Phillies sent Butch Henlein to Brooklyn and George Harper to New York. They got back Jack Scott and Fresco Thompson from New York, who also sent Burley Grimes to Brooklyn. In 1996, Phil signed free agent Dave Leiper? L-E-I-P-E-R. So it's either Leiper or Leiper. 2023, they traded Eric Miller to San Fran for Junior Marte. And then born on this date, 1887, Harry Hoke. 1916, Charlie Stanque. 1919, Charlie Sproul. 1944, Dick Thonen. 1953, Ivan DeJesus. And 1964, Stan Javier. Can never trust a guy with two first names. Just throwing that out there. Stan Javier. Can you trust him? Not sure. He was born in 64, the same year. That was the same year that the Phillies had that huge collapse, right? So, I mean, it's born in the same year that happened. Two first names. Don't know if you can trust the guy. Stan Javier. Can you trust him? Can you not? That's my biggest takeaway from this day in Phillies history. That, this edition of that. Okay, Phillies Hall of Fame ballot tracker update. And I've been doing this last couple of times, or last couple of weeks, excuse me. Figured, why not do it just till to the election on the 21st? This is an update for you from Ryan Thibodeau's Hall of Fame ballot tracker that he does every single year. And this is where the four former Phillies currently stand on the ballot tracker. And this is with 113 public ballots right now, six anonymous / unverifiable ballots. And that's the percentage of ballots known, almost 31%. So looks like Billy Wagner staying pretty steady right now, 84.9%. Last year of eligibility. Bobby Abreu is at 21.8%. Chase Utley, Chase looking good in that second year, man, 52.1%. He is on a good track to maybe potentially eventually get in. And then Jimmy Rollins is at 20.2%. So again, Wagner almost 85, Utley 52, Abreu almost 22%, and then J-Roll at 20%. So I think it's looking... Look, again, Wagner, it's probably going to get in. His last year there was almost in last year in his penultimate year. And then Chase at 52. Good for his second year, man. Good for his second year. I'm still borderline on Chase, but Chase looking pretty good in his second year on the ballot. Okay. Look, I do this every so often, and why not? I'm going to give you some music that I've been listening to lately. So, like, I always listen to hardcore. Like, I'm always listening to hardcore. So, like, it's never not a thing. So, Crusher Soul, which is, they're a hardcore band. And they just recently put out a project called Living Gracious. I like it. Definitely like it for sure. A band I recently saw a couple of weeks ago, Hindsight. Their demo, I never listened to them before. I saw them. When I saw them, they were awesome. And I currently listen to their demo. It's really good. But stuff that you guys probably would know. And then maybe this one not as much, but I'll just mention here. Story So Far, their album I Want to Disappear that they dropped this year. I really like a lot. It's mostly pop punk. I would say it's mostly pop punk. I really like it. I've come back to it, you know, multiple times this year. I mean, I listen to a lot of music, and especially for me to come back to that. Like, I really like it. You know, I grew up on a lot of pop punk with like Green Day and Blink and Sum 41, like all those bands. Like, grew up with all those bands. So, I mean, Story So Far, they were kind of part of that pop punk revival in the 2010s, and really good album, I Want to Disappear. One new one that I've just started checking out yesterday. New band, new album. The Cranberries. It's their first album. Everybody else is doing it, so why can't we? It's interesting. I don't know if they're necessarily my cup of tea. Again, I'm through one listen. I'm at least a three listen guy. Like, for me, I have to listen to an album like three times at least, to, unless I just hate the album so much, or I hate the artist or the song so much that, like, on first listen, I'm like, no, I know I can't get into this. For me, if like I can't give my, I at least try to listen to a song or an album or an EP, whatever it is, at least three times. The Cranberries, everybody else is doing it, so why can't we? It's interesting so far. Definitely a change of pace from what I'm used to, from whether it's punk, hardcore, metal, pop punk, alternative, rap, pop, like any R&B, any of the stuff I really like. Like, definitely a change of pace from that. It's a little slower. It's definitely not a bunch of high energy. It's just not what I normally, which is good though, because I like that. I like changing it up. I like trying to find something new. So, which is to say, are you somebody out there that likes the Cranberries? You can let me know. On X at @Rojas_media_Twitter/X. You listen to the Cranberries before? You like the Cranberries? I never listened to them before yesterday. They've been recommended to me. I keep like a list of music, a list of artists and songs, albums, whatever, of albums or whoever I want to, that I need to get to, that I've listened to before, ones that people recommend to me. So I would love for you to recommend me things on social media. You can, you know, again, on Twitter/X @Rojas_media_Cranberries. Would love for you to give me your thoughts on them. And also, if there's any recommendations you have, I would love to do that. Love talking about music. So you can get on me on Twitter @Rojas_media_. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Give me what you think about, you know, pretty much everything that I've laid out in today's show. Bregman to the Red Sox, or do you still think he's a good fit for the Phillies? Do you think the Phillies should still really try and trade Boehm before spring training starts? Maybe get Alex Bregman. What do you think about the Phillies falling number 2 in MLB.com's first power rankings for 2025? Brandon Marsh ranking number 6 in MLB Network's top 10 list. Also, Jeff Hoffman, what are we doing? Hoffman, Estevez, like, what are we doing there? Let me know all your thoughts there. That's going to do it for me, Phillies Today, and I'll talk to you guys soon.